religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیبه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن، دوری از قرآن، از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
کتاب الله.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite Back to Reality. Well, once more, we're here to bring you back to the real estate of everything that happens in the world. Well, this is Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be your host. And here with me, I have two very dear guests, Sister Nasreen and Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, both of you, and thank you for coming here.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having us.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Well, just like the ritual of this program, without any further ado, I would like you to introduce yourself and tell us a very brief introduction about yourself.
Well, this is Zainab Askari, actually from India. For the last 10 years, I've been living in Qom, studying Hausa, and also have a linguistic background.
Very good. And you, Sister Nasreen?
And I'm Nasreen. I have studied English literature and also studied in Hausa.
Yeah. Thank you for coming here. Loneliness is something that we cannot ignore it in today's life, even if you're amongst a very crowded, busy number of people, then you sometimes feel lonely. Now, we need to talk about this loneliness. Where does it come from, this feeling? How has it been fueled in us? Why do we feel lonely even if we have a number of people around us, even if we have so many facilities to get engaged and to, get involved in so that we do not feel lonely, but it's not working?
When you have some unwelcoming feeling of lack or loss of companionship, or it happens when there's a mismatch between the quantity and quality of the social relationships we have. And it comes in different forms, maybe for sometimes it's the social loneliness, social isolation, or sometimes in relationships. Again, given the quantity or quality you're
looking
for. But
why do I think that in past people were not feeling this lonely, that modern people are feeling?
Yeah, I think because the modern world comes with the tech and its own disadvantages. For example, there were girls who were sharing the clips of jokes on Instagram, and then we felt like they were very happy. But deep down, we found that both of them were quite lonely deep inside. So
that's what's happening in today's world.
Yeah, so because tech brings its own consequences.
So what about you, Sister Nasreen, about loneliness? I said that maybe in past people were not feeling it as much as we're feeling it right now. And then, technology could be one point, but what do you think has got an effect on us, has impacted us in a way that we feel that we're lonely?
Actually, loneliness has always been a multidimensional, concept. So if I want to compare, I can say that in the past, a lonely person was someone who physically was isolated from society, mm-hmm. whether due to social, political or even spiritual circumstances. But today, the concept of loneliness is a little bit, more, it's in more complex form.
It's layered.
Yes, and has become one of the humanity's greatest challenges, especially in postmodern, you know, society or era. Yes, maybe at that time, it's just only was, you know, you were alone, physically you were alone. You couldn't go out, maybe you couldn't be with other people, especially we have the same thing with Imam Ali alayhi salam. He was alone at the time that he was, you know, living with other people. Why? Because of his being a justice, you know, because of his justice. He was alone, he was separated from other people. They were not with him. Yeah, why? Because mentally, they were not with him. So he was, again, alone. And nowadays, I think we have the same thing somehow. Because of your knowledge, because of lots of things that you have.
Because of your beliefs, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You know, maybe even of your spiritual experiences.
Yeah, and sometimes because of your nationality card.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to be alone, and then you're going to feel this loneliness because you're coming from a special place of the world.
Ethnicity, yeah. I experienced that in the school.
Yeah, so we go for a break and then we come back to your experience with the school. Welcome back. This is Back to Reality, and we're talking about loneliness. Yes, the postmodern era, one of the disadvantages, greatest disadvantages of this postmodern era, among the many others, is this feeling of loneliness. And unfortunately now, even the children, it's very interesting that nowadays, even if you go and talk to children and sit in their crowds, like if there are a number of kids playing together and then you suddenly get to talk to them, you would realize that whatever they say, their words is shadowing of something, is projecting something of loneliness.
Right. As you said, I also experienced that in the school, and it goes back to the ethnicity you come from. For example, I was the only Shia girl in my school.
Yeah.
And how would people recognize that, and how would they act differently with me, was because of my father's name. Like, my name was different Arabic. They wouldn't understand it. But like, my father's name was Nisar Hussein. So wherever there was Hussein in anybody's name, they would consider him as a Shia and treat so differently. Like,
exactly.
Nobody would eat from my lunchbox. Nobody would sit with me in the class. Nobody would give me the homework books. And
yeah.
I felt so...
And that's so sad.
Yeah.
Like, and it happens. It happens in many part of the world.
Yeah. So like...
In different forms.
That kind of loneliness was because of the... like the religion you come from, or the ethnicity, or the minority group you come from.
Exactly.
But on the other side, like when I came to Iran, I felt deeply, deeply respected being from the same minority group. So like, yes, different cultures have different waves. But I just mentioned this because, like you said, sometimes based on the identity card you have or the nationality you have,
or
I feel way more proud being a Shia today, and I feel like for all that loneliness I suffered in the school, I will be rewarded, inshallah. And so were
all the minorities, I guess, minorities who are talking, who are taking actually the right side. Well, you know, we talk about loneliness as something that exists there. But then, in order to have some solutions for these loneliness, now in some of the countries, they even have Ministry of Loneliness. I guess we have talked about this before. If we want to give a solution for all the people who feel lonely, what would be the solution that we would give them?
Maybe we don't have a specific solution for that. You know, first of all, we have, as I told you, we have different types of loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
You need to determine that one. Which one of them? For example, one of them is psychological loneliness.
The psychological,
for example,
is more common.
Yeah, I am with everybody.
Yet
but
I'm not with anyone.
I have I don't have any, you know, feeling of a deep
being
connection. I'm not connected. Yeah. There's no connection between me and other people. I'm in there.
I'm
in society.
Detached.
Exactly. I'm talking to them, but I don't think, I cannot trust them, maybe. Maybe
lonely
it's because of
crowd.
That. Or maybe I have some ideas in my head that the other people are not welcoming it. They don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of them is like I have a social, you know, loneliness. Maybe it's a spiritual loneliness. Maybe it's philosophical loneliness. So which one of them? First of all, I have to determine this. I have to find this.
Since the psychological one is the majority of lonely people are considered as to be put in that category, the psychological loneliness they're suffering from, what would be the solution that we would give to them?
But let me tell you
something. What are the ways to change this mentality? Because it hurts so much to have many people around you, to live in a society, to live in a family, to have a family and then feel like you're secluded, to feel like you're the minority, to feel like you're alone, to feel like nobody understands you.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to throw our phones.
I think we need to throw our phones.
Yeah. Because I think, like, as you
But, you know, mentioned, just in order to answer mentioned, you, I think that these people take their phone in their hands because they feel lonely and they don't want
to feel aware of what they're suffering. For example, we used to, I said a majority of loneliness today is just because of the tech. Like in the olden days, like we also compared the olden days and today, I think it was like whenever you wanted to meet someone or you wanted to see if someone is doing okay or not, you would visit in person. You would not ask on phone. So we are not satisfied literally online asking on phone. And whenever there's so much comes with the tech, I think, for example, it also starts with the kids. We are entertaining our kids with the games on our phones. Rather, we should buy the aquariums and I think we should take them out
to
for
nature.
A park. Yeah, to the nature. Make them, I think... My son burnt his finger while doing the, you know, he was collecting the wood and set it on fire and made the potatoes there. And he realized that it takes efforts to get something cooked. So I think he learned, even if he got his finger burnt a bit, so he learned the fact that it takes efforts to get something ready. It's not instant. So they are also learning something. But tech will, when you're giving them the phone with the games and all, they're not learning anything. You're secluding them from the nature, from the outside world, from how it works, from... because tomorrow they're not going to make any efforts.
Exactly.
So when they are not going to make any efforts, they are going to be lonely.
Exactly. So maybe you need to, you know, maybe the solution lies in nurturing meaningful relationships or reconnecting people. Reconnecting
Have
myself.
Interaction.
Yes. For example, you were talking about the kids. My son has the same problem. He, you know, is alone and then he wants to, you know, play with mobile phone. He prefers mobile phone because he has everything in this mobile phone.
Yeah,
whatever he wants.
He does not need any effort.
Yeah.
You're sitting in your place doing nothing, literally.
Yeah.
And then using your eyes too much, mm-hmm. burdening your eyes with too much of light and too much of, you know, effort. And that's going to be dangerous. Only dangerous, not giving you any feeling of pleasure nor any feeling of interaction with other people, with nature, anything.
Even sometimes you forget how to interact with other people.
Exactly.
And I think we need to educate ourselves on the quantity as well. Like, for example, you're not lonely if you have one or two friends. But if you have meaningful friends and you are keeping yourself away from that toxic crowd, is way better.
Way better, yes.
Way better. Mm-hmm. Than
so it's all about quality and not about quantity.
That's what I said in the definition of loneliness in the beginning. Like people do not find that quality and quantity things. So yeah, we need to fix it with ourselves. We need to educate ourselves on that. Even if the group is less, but they are pious people, they are the people with whom the company, which I'm not going to regret in the hereafter, then it's way better the few people than a group of crowd of toxic people around me.
Yeah, and even we need to, you know, revive the ethical values in ourselves. So when I have Allah, I never am alone.
When he is in my company,
he's the one that
feel
I have.
Alone. So maybe you have to rewatch it. Maybe you have to look at it again to see what's going wrong in the way you look at everything and in the way you have a relationship with your God and the connection that you have with your Lord.
Yes, exactly. And I think indeed if the tech has made the distances less, you won't be affected if you visit your relatives in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different thing. Like when you meet your friend in person, that's way too different from the time when you text them. And yeah, these are the problems of the postmodern era and the modern human beings who are created to be slaves to these technological, industrial world. But we need to look at ourselves from different perspective, and we need to re-look at whatever connection we have with the nature, with our Lord, and with our friends and family.
Unquestionably, by the remembrance of Allah, hearts are assured.
Exactly.
So this is the thing that we say, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ.
So whenever you feel lonely, seek refuge in remembrance of Allah.
Yeah, so He is the one that always welcomes me when I am feeling alone and depressed.
And you don't need to take any time from any reception or anything.
No.
You go there right away, and He's so close to you.
Exactly.
So, this was all. I hope you have just enjoyed it. Until another session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, Ladhi umara zaka. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي التي أما رايزك لا تعصي دليلتك وانسك.
Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers. This is Kalashnikovia, the show where we discuss the Quran in ways that you might not have seen it discussed before. Here in the studio today, we have with us our dear Sayyid Abdullah.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykhuna.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm Shaykh Mudhafar at your service, of course. Now, there are many times in life where you feel like you might be going astray. And there's many distractions and all sorts of confusing things that come your way. Now, what we want to discuss today is something from the Quran that really keeps you grounded. Keeps you humble and at the same time grounded. There's a verse of the Quran where Allah actually says, "We have given you the seven oft-repeated verses," referring to Surah Fatiha, according to the tafsirs. Now, Surah Fatiha is something that we recite over and over and over again. And if you really break it down, it only comes down to one verse of prayer, actual prayer that you're asking Allah, and that is, "Ihdina siratul mustaqim," guide us to the right path. Of all the prayers that Allah could have told us to repeat over and over again, we could have asked for rizq, sustenance, we could have asked for good health, we could have asked for this and that. No, Allah wants you to ask for guidance to the right path. Now, the opening question for you, Sayyid, is, we're already on the right path. Why would we need to pray for that every day? We're Muslim. We have the Quran, we have the Ahlul Bayt. We pray five times a day. Why are we asking Allah for guidance? Doesn't make any sense to me. No, I don't understand it.
I don't either. Why are you asking me?
Oh, you don't understand it? All right. Well,
let's just end the show here.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No, the concept of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's an ongoing thing.
Okay.
See, what guarantees, so now you're saying that I am on the right track. Alhamdulillah, I have the Quran, I have the Ahl Bayt. But what guarantees you that you're going to stay on the right track? بَلْعَمْ بِنْ بَعُورَ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا ثَمَّتَ لَهُ كَالْكَلْبِ إِنْ تَحْمَلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ وَانْ تُتْرَكُهُ يَلْهَثْ. He reached a maqam, a status. Allah says, we gave him the al-ismu al-a'zam. Allah great his name. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. He was, his, you know, انسلخ means like when you take the skin from the body, uh-huh, and then just the bones that are left. Uh-huh. It's like we took everything from him and we sent him down below at the status of a dog. With a dog, if you chase the dog or not, the dog is always out of breath. Allah says, this guy is from al-ism al-a'zam. How long would it take you and me to reach al-ism al-a'zam?
How long would it, like, in terms of years?
In terms of ibadah or years?
Yeah, I guess it depends. 20
lifetimes, a billion lifetimes? Yeah. Because reaching that stage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you al-ism al-a'zam, which is only given to the prophets and the ma'soom, this guy got it.
I just want Allah says, at that point, you can perform miracles, you can bring the dead back to life.
You can create universes, mm-hmm, if you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want with the Ism al-A'am. And Allah gave it to this guy. And then he deprived it, he took it from him, and he brought it down to a dog's status. So, you might think you're on the right track, but what guarantees you going to stay on the right track if you don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly for guidance?
It reminds me of this hadith where Prophet Isa alayhi salam is with one of his companions, and he walks across the water. So then he teaches his companion how to walk across the water. So Prophet Isa is walking and this companion is behind him, and he's walking on the water behind the Prophet. And at that moment he thinks to himself, here's Prophet Isa, one of the Ulul Adham prophets. He's walking on the water. And here I am walking behind him on the water. And at that moment he sinks. He falls and he goes into the depths, and Prophet Isa alayhi salam pulls him out. But it's about this recognition of the fact that you are always in need of Allah.
Exactly. So the idea is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you on a path, it needs to be, you need to persevere to be on that path, and need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you on that path, because Shaytan made a promise to Allah. He says, لَأَقْدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطُكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. See, this is a straight path. I'm going to sit on that and divert them right and left. That's the job of Shaytan. And who's going to give me the ism and the protection if it's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's why the Ahl Bayt, they say, ask Allah for two things. As-sahha, health, وَحُسْنُ الْعَاقِبَةِ a good end. Not everyone gets a good end. A lot of people, they live their life as mu'mineen, they die what? As kuffar. A lot of people do that. And the hadith at the end of times, mind you, it says يَصْبُحُ الْمُؤْمِنُ يَصْبُحُ الْمُؤْمِنُ يَصْبُحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. A man, a person, in the morning he's a mu'min. By night he's a kafir. وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُصْبُحُ مُؤْمِنًا. At night he could be a kafir, in the morning he could be a mu'min. That's how it changes. It's just a matter of hours. I can send you a video, 30 seconds long. It could manipulate your entire beliefs. You're like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. So when we have Muslims who change to become Christians or atheists, what happened there? Or you have an atheist who changed to become a Muslim, or a Christian who became a Muslim, what happened there? A matter of ideology. It could change. We don't have guarantees that I'm going to remain like this. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focuses on that ihdina, ihdina, ihdina. Because without the constant hidayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor you, nor me, nor anyone will ever make it. Because shaitan and his henchmen, they're always on the way. So that's why we need to constantly repeat that phrase. And sometimes, like, you find people who are mu'mineen, but they're misguided. They're misguided. What's the point? Like I said, whether it's Bala'a bin Ba'ara or other characters in the Quran Allah talks about. And they look at themselves, they go, we are mu'mineen. But they're not. The Imam Ali says, the hadith Qudsi from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, their looks, they look like a human being. But their hearts are animalistic. It's the heart of an animal. I see a human outside, but in fact his reality is an animal reality. So, without the guidance and continuous guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and holding to that rope of Allah, which we spoke about before, وَاَعْتَصَمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, without holding to that, we'll be misguided. So we need to constantly ask Allah for guidance. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated that verse, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. In every salah we read it twice, right? Because without that constant guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of us will make it. As simple as that.
It reminds me of a really tragic story, a scary story actually. I think Ayatollah Dasghib Shirazi, he narrates it in Greater Sins, if I'm not mistaken. Greater Sins, by the way, is a fantastic book. Greater Sins, it's a very scary book. But he did not hold back. He put all of those terrifying ahadith right there for everybody to see for themselves. What happens if you commit this sin and that sin? But he was talking about this man who had reached such a high spiritual level that whatever he prayed for, Allah would answer it immediately. Almost like the status of a prophet or a messenger or a great saint of Allah. And there was this girl in the community or in the village, and she had a mental disability. They brought her to him and he said, leave her with me. They left her with him. He prayed for her. She was cured. And immediately his intention became evil. He committed a sin. And in order to hide that sin, he killed her. And then he buried her body underneath his minbar, his seat. Eventually the people came and found the body. And then what they did is they took him out into the street to execute him. They're taking him towards the gallows for him to be hung or for him to have his head cut off. And at that point, Shaitan appears in front of him. Iblis appears in front of him. And he says to him, I can save you from all of this. All you need to do is do one sujood. And the man says, look, they've tied up my neck. I can't do sujood. So Shaitan says to him, it's okay, just close your eyes with the intention, the niyyah of doing sujood to me. He closes his eyes. At that very moment that he closes his eyes, they execute him. So there's a person who reached such a high status that his prayers were answered like that, to actually being a Satan worshipper at the end of his life. And that story illustrates this point to such a high degree. It's really terrifying.
It is. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, at the end of the day, don't take anything for granted. Because, and sometimes we as Muslims, we become arrogant by thinking we're on the right track, we believe in everything correct, and we're going to make it. There are no guarantees in that path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you right, left, and center with everything. That verse that you began with, ahasibtum, do you think you're going to go to heaven without being trialed? How does that work?
Mm.
Allah will trial every aspect of you. And like I said, sometimes we think that we're on the right track, but we're not. You know, like the hadith that we have spoken about many, many times. Man mata wa lam ya'raf imama zaman, mata imitad in jahliya. As simple as that. You are a Muslim, you pray, you worship, you do everything. But then again, you don't follow the rightful imam. What happens to you? And how many people during the Muslim time went to hell because of that? Amir al-Mu'mineen in the Battle of the Camel, there were 20,000 and 20,000 on each side. And they were all Muslims. So you're telling me these 20,000 on the other side, they're all going to go to heaven? Or 40,000 in some narrations? They're going to go to heaven? Yeah. Fighting Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Those who fought Imam Hussein, salamullah alayhi. Those who fought the Emma, salamullah alayhi. And those who still now supporting the Tawgut. They live in the Tawgut countries, Tawgut systems. And look, they're praying and they're fasting, they're going to the Husayniyah, they're doing everything correctly. They might do even about it more than you and I could even think of. Maybe that every day they read Yat Ashura, they do all the A'mal, all the Mustahabbat, everything. And they look at themselves like, alhamdulillah, look at me. I am in a Western country, corrupted country, all the haram around me. But look at me, I'm holding my iman right. If that's not shaitan, I don't know what it is.
Because there's a verse of the Quran that says, do not attribute purity to yourselves.
Not just that. No, the idea that you being on the wrong camp. See, shaitan is very smart. Right? This is something I need to give him a credit. Right? Shaitan is very smart. He puts you under the illusion. I had this conversation with one of my brothers who came from a Western country. I don't want to name. And he was speaking about how good it is in the West and how much they had this and that. I was like, dude, yeah, I live in the same place, you know that, right? And he's like, yeah, have you seen? I'm like, okay. I'm like, have you ever experienced such and such? Have you went through difficulties through your ibadah? Do you wake up in the morning early without a prayer? Yeah. I'm like, do you feel khushu'? I was like, yeah. I'm like, you never miss your salat? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, do you do all this? I was like, yeah. I'm like, why do you think you're doing this without any hassle? I'm like, could it be that actually shaitan might be helping you out? I was like, why would shaitan do that? I'm like, because you're in the wrong environment. If you're in the wrong environment, shaitan will help you, not stand against you. I'm like, come here to this country and try to pray Salatul Layl. Come here and let me see you control your eyes when it comes to women. Even though they are veiled, but everyone to them, once you see a woman from outside just dressed in black, your mind starts to... But go on the worst, stay naked, astaghfirullah, you know, eyes, nothing, flawlessly, like dirt. But when you come here, they dressed, but shaitan plays in it. I'm like, come back to yourself here. Because there, he's helping you. He's not actually against you. See, this is the importance of being in the right camp. Imam Hussein salamullah alayhi, he was praying on the day of Ashura. On the other side, they were praying too, right? Two, they were praying opposing each other. So Umar ibn Sa'd was leading a salah. Al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Rasulullah was leading a salah. Now, to someone like, okay, so they're both praying. Alhamdulillah, that's good, isn't it? Now, but which salah is accepted? Which salah is actually going to get people to have it? Salatul Husayn alayhi salam or these guys? So it's not just because you pray, because you fast, because you do things. There are a lot of things that you need to pay attention to. Now where are you? Who you are with?
Mm.
Who do you give your allegiance to? Are you voting for anyone in the system that you live in?
Mm.
Are you supporting that system that you live in without realizing? Because a lot of people are like, alhamdulillah, here is so good. It's better than the Muslim countries. The Muslim countries are this and the Muslim countries are like that. And we have peace and we have this and we have this and we have this. They give me a whole list of how good the West is compared to the East. You guys are this, you guys are that, you guys are...
I'm like, well, who's putting us in this situation?
Mm.
Isn't it the same people who are sucking our blood and our money and our oil?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of resources that have been stolen from the Muslims is the biggest theft, perhaps the worst theft in human history. People don't realize how much of the wealth of the Muslims have been stolen from the Muslim lands. Yeah. And one of the first things that they do is install their own puppets who are nothing but servants of the Western powers. And the other thing is that these guys, they target, first and foremost, all the scientists, the knowledgeable people. They kill all the thinkers whenever they come to this part of the land. That's what they did in Iraq. That's what they did in Syria. That's what they did in Afghanistan. And that's what they just recently, what they did in Iran. Who did they first target? Other than the military personnel, the scientists, nuclear scientists. They've even killed some media personalities in Iran. We're not allowed to talk about that, but that's what they do.
Yeah.
So if you see that this part of the world is backwards, there's a reason behind it. Now,
precisely,
it comes down to the question of where would you rather be? The camp which is being bombed or the camp which is doing the bombing?
Mm. So the idea here is like when you say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, you need to be very careful that you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove all veils from your eyes to see where you are exactly standing, in which field you're standing. Like you said, in which camp, the one that's getting bombed or the one that's doing the bombing. Because sometimes, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم doesn't just translate to salah and siyam. It translates to where you are in this world, where is your location in this world, where does your mind, your belief stands in this world. It's not just Salah and having Quran, having the Ahl Bayt, I'm fine. No, Wallahu al-Aliyy al-Azim, I put my hand on the Quran that 90% of the Shia are going to hell. Wallahu al-Aliyy al-Azim. And they can cancel that show they like. Because our allegiance is somewhere else. Now, Ahl Kufa, weren't they Shia? They were Shia, because a lot of Shia, they're like, oh no, they had this and that. No, the majority of them were Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And I stand by what I say, I have my evidence from historical books. Yeah, there were a lot of people from different groups, but the majority were the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Why did they not fight Imam Hussein salam Allah? One said, said to them, "Ibku kathira," cry. Why? They just, because she knew who she was talking to. When she went to Yazid, she changed her tone, because he's no longer a fellow of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And this is the reality. You think, اهدنَا الصراط المستقيم, alhamdulillah, I have Ahl Bayt, I pray, I fast, I go to majalis, I do azah, I do rah. You list a whole list, but you are completely lost. So Allah is saying, for the love of God, you come to me every day, you ask me for اهدنَا الصراط المستقيم. You try to pay attention to that word. What do you want to guide you from?
I think it comes down to the fact that you can't, it's not enough to just say, I believe. حَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Does mankind think it will be enough for them to say, I believe, and they will not be tested, they will not be tried? Now, this might seem like a slightly different subject, but no, it's not. It's the same thing. You have to understand that saying that you believe in something is not enough. You need to be tested on that.
Pretty much.
Now, if you're not praying sincerely to be guided to the right path, you could be completely astray, thinking that you're on the right path when you're not.
Yeah.
How do you break that illusion?
Yeah. Even if you go throughout the Muslim history, we had a lot of scholars who technically what we call them mujtahideen, who were misguided. Who misguided a lot of people. Like, I'll give you an example. A character by the name of Ashal Ghamani. Ashal Ghamani was at the time of Imam al-Hasan al-Askari, salamullah alayhi, and he made to the Ghaiba Surah, the minor occultation. And Ashal Ghamani, he was one of the most famous scholars, Shia scholars of his time. That even he had, his books were written, the ahkam of his book, in every Shia house back in the day. It's like now, when we have Mufatih al-Janan and Quran and Rusala Amaliyah in every house. His books was in every house. When Hussein ibn Ruh was chosen to be the ambassador of the Imam, his ego kicked in. Dude,
my position, my knowledge, my taqwa, I am better than Hussein ibn Ruh. Why would the Imam choose him and not me? And then he flipped against the Imam alayhi salam. Right? And then the Imam salamullah alayhi, he issued a fatwa, or he wrote a letter. He cursed Ash-Shal Ghaman. So from going from being a highest cleric that everyone follows you to someone cursed by the Imam is a very strong flip. So we have to be very careful that when we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, like I said, it's a constant thing. I could change my beliefs at any minute. If my basira, my insight is not turned on, if I'm not seeing with it, I could lose my path at any given minute. Because like I said, salah and siyam and having a title that you are a fulani, you're a shi'i, you're this and you're that, it's not going to get you anywhere in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, قِفُوهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ مَسْئُولُونَ. Stop them, for they will be asked. Every one of us will be asked from A to Z. Now we're going to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we have to be constantly in that afraid state that we could get lost at any given moment. There's a hadith, beautiful hadith. Now, it says like, it talks about who should be scared. And so like, it first begins with the one with the lower iman, then it goes muttaqeen, this, and then it goes like the highest level. And it's like, these guys, they should be the most scared of losing their faith. Shaitan, I always give this analogy. Shaitan,
so who are those people?
The highest, not the muttaqeen, so there's a muttaqeen and there's a level higher.
Wara?
Huh?
Wara? Is it talking about wara?
Not wara. We'll leave it, inshallah, I'll get the hadith because it goes in sequencing.
Okay.
And this is how shaitan works. He allows you to grow. He allows you to grow. You become really strong in everything and then he hits you. Once he breaks you, there's no coming back. See, the analogy is like this. When you have a small tree, small stem, you cut it, will grow back very fast. Every time you cut it, will keep growing. Will never stop growing. Why? Because it's small, it just keeps growing. A big tree, cut a bigger tree.
It's done.
Done. A lot of people, shaitan allows them to grow, like Bal'am bin Ba'ura. He allows them to grow. And then he brings a shubha, he brings a doubt, and then they slip. And once they slip, there's no comeback. There's a guy currently, his name is Ahmed Al-Khatib. Ahmed Al-Khatib, he's now very active on YouTube. He was one of the defenders of Shi'ism and Mahdiism. He wrote books about Mahdiism. And his books are still available online. Years back, he changed. He's like, you know, the Mahdiism is just a myth that the Shia came up with. There's no such a thing as a Mahdi. It's a myth. It's fiction. Science fiction. The Shia wanted to entertain themselves, make themselves feel good. They came up with a Mahdi. He went completely opposite. I met one of the brothers from Africa. He said, I became a Shi'i because of Ahmed Al-Khatib. And now Ahmed Al-Khatib is what? He's denouncing Shi'ism, or at least that Mahdiism. He's like, the Mahdi doesn't exist. So, look, it's very easy to slip. Very, very easy to slip. Shaitan is very smart. He knows my weakness. He knows your weakness. And he knows what to get me and what to get you. Or, like, for example, the guy that wanted to Abdurrahman ibn al-Muljim. He, Qutam, she was a very beautiful woman. She was like, oh, you know what? And he said, you know, I want to marry you. He's like, yeah, sure, but my dowry is for you to kill Ali ibn Abi Talib. And mind you, Abdurrahman ibn al-Muljim, he was one of the mystics of his time, of the Khawarij. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he ended up, what? Killing Amir al-Mu'minin, salamullah alayhi. Shimr himself, this cursed creature that killed Imam Hussein. He went to Hajj 40 times, walking. He never abandoned his Salatul Layl, even in Ashura. Right? But what did he end up doing? Killing Imam Hussein, salamullah alayhi. So sometimes we take things very lightly, and we say, you know what? Yeah, alhamdulillah, I'm good. No, no one is good.
So start giving us a few solutions here, because now I'm thinking to myself, it's better to be a little bit bad, man.
The solution is what you started with.
What?
As-sab' al-mathani. Keep reading that. Keep reading Surah Al-Hamd. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim.
But you just gave all these examples. All these guys were reading Surah Al-Hamd.
No, because all these examples, all these people, the scenarios I'm bringing forth is people because they thought they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have everything, alhamdulillah. I'm okay. I'm good. And even when, that's what I said, when you say to Allah, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, you're asking. You're asking Allah.
Genuinely asking.
Yeah, but if you're just saying in lip service, Allah says, no, sorry, I'm not going to give that to you. But if you genuinely ask Allah, oh Allah, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Ihdina. I'm genuinely asking you for guidance. Allah will show you the path. So as long as you ask, Allah will answer. Ad'uni astajib lakum. That's how the formula works.
Call upon me, I'll answer you.
But the call has to be genuine call.
Yeah.
Like I turn my head around, like, Brother Mudaffar. And you're like, are you talking to me?
Mm.
But while I can hear the person, bro, I really need your help. Mm. It's different. Mm. It's a huge difference. So Allah says, ad'uni astajib lakum.
Mm.
And that's why when you say ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, genuinely, that's going to save you. Because you're invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come to your help. And that's what's going to save us. What's going to save us is how strong we hold on to the Rabb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah himself, to the Quran itself. In the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says, when the fitan, when the calamities and the sedations come to you as dark as night, what do?
Cry.
Farju'u ila al-Qur'an. Fa'alaykum bil-Qur'an. Go back to the Qur'an. That's how you're going
to
be saved.
Go back to the Qur'an. I think that's a really good place to actually wrap up the show here. We've run out of time, unfortunately. But I think that's a really perfect place to end it, because we're not just talking about reciting Surah Fatiha. We're talking about saying it genuinely. Oh Allah, I really want your guidance. So when it comes to the Quran also, let's try to read it in a way that we're genuinely asking Allah for guidance. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book, there is no crookedness therein, a guidance for those who have taqwa, for the muttaqeen, for the God conscious. Thank you, Sayyid, Jazakallah, really benefited from you today. And God bless all of you guys. We hope that you have enjoyed and benefited from the discussion today. If you do have any questions or queries, do leave them in the comment section below. Don't forget to subscribe. And from myself and from our dear Sayyid, we bid you Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,710 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. An FM, 91.5 megahertz for Iran. You can also listen to the English channel of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. You can also listen to the radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
My life has been a journey, where faith is where I roam. What steps I used to walk in don't really match mine no more. I live south for the river, where children are quick to grow. Walking down a street full of distraction, for some they call it home. So take me home, I gotta find my home.
Now my world is much more meaning since you came into my life. Lessons you placed in my journey, let me know you shine in your light. Right here is where you found me, as I lay my head at night. Surround me with good intentions as I close my eyes tonight. So take me home, I gotta find my home. So take me home, I gotta find my home. I was looking for a place to call my home. I was looking for a path to feel at home. But all I ever needed was to walk on, and the path that I've been shown. I am not alone, you're not an illusion. Comes true, you love an affection. Nothing comes close to you.
Good evening to all our listeners. This is Iran Radio. Very nice to have you with us. Today is Tuesday, 15th of July, 2025, corresponding to 24th of Tir 1404 on the Iranian solar calendar and 19th of Muharram 1447 on the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar. We'll start this hour's programs with our news bulletin that will be followed by today's special daily mix format program that deals with various Islamic and Iranian occasions. Our radio productions feature will be next. That will be followed by leader's speech presenting an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches of the Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei. And our final program this hour is Hadith of the Day. The program presents a hadith from the Holy Prophet and members of his household, Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, along with a brief explanation about the hadith. Stay with us for this hour.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel presses ahead with its genocidal war on Gaza, killing more civilians in the Palestinian territory, including a refugee camp near Gaza City. Another Israeli soldier has taken own life as the number of suicides among regime forces since the start of the year has risen now to 15. And Israel launched airstrikes on Syria's Suweida after HTS-led regime forces enter the city to end deadly clashes there. Hello, everyone, and welcome to World News. Our top story, the Israeli military continues hammering the Gaza Strip with air and artillery strikes, killing around a dozen Palestinians since dawn today. Regime warplanes targeted a residential building in the Al-Shati refugee camp near Gaza City, killing at least five people and leaving several injured. In a separate attack hitting a neighborhood south of Gaza City, all members of a single family were killed. U.S.-Israeli genocide, which began back in October of 2023, has so far killed nearly 58,400 Palestinians and left over 139,000 wounded. Rising death toll comes amid a deteriorating humanitarian situation as well. According to the UN Children's Fund, more than 5,800 children were diagnosed with malnutrition in June. And joining us now from central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah is Moti Abu Musabe with your update. Moti.
Yes, unfortunately, the brutal airstrikes and attacks are still carried out in full swing. There are still incidents targeting different parts of Gaza Strip. However, over the past couple of hours, those attacks are still concentrated in Gaza City, in the eastern side of Gaza City. As you know, we are talking about ceaseless Israeli strikes and attacks are still targeting more residential buildings. A short while ago, an entire residential square was completely pummeled and destroyed by the Israeli warplanes. And we understand clearly that every Israeli strike hits any area in Gaza Strip, dozens of Palestinian civilians and casualties left behind the attack. So the situation is still apocalyptic. According to the medical sources in Gaza City, at least 24 Palestinian civilians have been confirmed killed since dawn hours till this moment, and unfortunately, dozens of those Palestinian casualties are still trapped, and they are still under the rubble of the destroyed houses, while the Palestinian medical staff and the Palestinian civil defense teams are still unable to reach those areas because of the incessant Israeli strikes and attacks, and the Israeli occupation forces are still preventing any of those, as you know, medical staff and the civil defense teams from reaching and approaching that area. And to be honest, the eastern side of Gaza is still the focal point of those genocidal attacks. But this doesn't mean that the Israeli attacks are only carried out in the eastern side of Gaza, because over the last night, the Israeli warplanes carried out an airstrike targeting a residential building in the Ashara refugee camp, killing three Palestinian civilians. Additionally, one of the Palestinian members of parliament, one of the Palestinian members of the Palestinian Legislative Council, was assassinated over the last night. Dr. Faraj Al-Ghour, he was killed deliberately by the Israeli occupation forces. And as you know, here in the central area of Gaza Strip, the Israeli occupation forces also carried on their brutal strikes and attacks. The last attack took place a short while ago after the Israeli Fatah drones attacked a gathering of the Palestinian people in the northern part of the central area of Gaza Strip. To be honest, we can hear several deafening bombardments and explosions are still booming in the eastern side of Khan Yunis city, which is still witnessing more cruel attacks of the Israeli occupation forces. According to the Nasser Medical Complex, at least eight Palestinian civilians have been confirmed killed since the 1 hour till this moment. Two out of them were women who were trying to obtain some of the food supplies from the aid distribution centers in the western side of Rafah city. And we understand clearly that more attacks were carried out targeting more makeshift tents of the Palestinian people in Al-Mawasi area. The last one took place, as you know, a short while ago, whereas two Palestinian civilians were confirmed killed and slaughtered. So the Israeli occupation forces are still escalating the attacks against the Palestinian people, killing more Palestinian civilians. They are still ongoing with their policy of destroying more residential buildings. The Israeli systematic policy is still ongoing. They are still, as you know,